One of the things that I am really, it's one of those things that keeps coming up. And every time I do, I enter into that state of shock. And one of these days, I'm going to have that conversation with myself where I say, really? Can you get over this? Because the repetition of shock, and I know it's the five stages of grief, but at the same time, and it's really interesting because grief, it's the five stages of change. It's like this, it is a shock to your system, which is why we call it shock, but it's jarring after a while, is the surprise that math does predictable things. That's what I'm talking about. It's when you know the math. And it's predictable because it's math. It's called pattern. You know, it's kind of what math is. It does it. And yet, no matter how many times, it's only been like 144 times that I've gone through this cycle. Every time, without fail, I am shocked. And I'm at a point where now I'm just embarrassed over myself because I look at stuff like that and I'm going, it's math. It's going to have a pattern. And not only does it have a pattern and it's predictable because it's math, but I'm the one who discovered it. So I really know, but like my entire life has been nothing but tracking this mathematical pattern. Now this is where it gets fun. I have a relationship with math. This is the relationship with math. Not only is it at that point, it's now at the point where it's a countdown. It really shows up as a countdown. So it's not even a surprise. Like the concept of what we think is a psychological surprise is bullshit. Because this exists. And I'm like, okay, something here is wrong. There is incorrect data here. Because if this truly was what we think surprise is, then when you have a mathematical pattern with a countdown that is so predictable that you've mapped it and created an entire scientific field off of this, why are you surprised? You know, it's like, and I can see it. Like, I would be that person in Times Square going, 3, 2, 1, ah! You know, like, you did not know it was coming? Like, what do you think this is all about? And yet, I am still surprised. So the concept that shock is surprise, that's bullshit. It's gotta be. Because I shouldn't be shocked anymore. So this whole, this episode is all about really sitting back and asking the question, is shock really about surprise? Because psychological evidence shows us that it's not, it's crap. So really, what is it really? And that's not actually what I want to talk about at all. That was just the introduction tangent to the show. So what I am shocked about is how perfect math really is. I don't think this is shock. I think it's awe. I think that's its true name. I really believe it's its true name because I am in love, passionately, aggressively with math. I am deeply, deeply in love with math. Like, it is my relationship. It is math. Like, the perfection of it. And one of the things that I got to talk about this because this is amazing. When I was doing my psychological studies, one of the things that I discovered is there are three types. I got to write when I do this one because this one is one of those metaheuristic algorithms. Okay, that was the sound of my Expo marker. Welcome to. Okay, so this is going to be one of those things where I'm writing so much on a metaheuristic level that if I don't track it when I talk, I'm going to lose my train of thought. And I definitely don't want to lose my train. So what I noticed is there are three very specific types of disciplines when I was doing my studies. The first one I noticed is your primary studies. And those ones, that's your forte. That's what you put all of your effort and focus into. The second one is going to be where I want to say subsequent. But let's call them subsequent. Now, I am referring specifically only to ancient Greek education. So I'm going to say things that only apply to the ancient Greek education. So smart asses, leave the room. It only applies to ancient Greek education. So you have your primary forte, and then you have your subsequent disciplines. Now, your subsequent disciplines, the way the formula works like is this. You have 21 academic disciplines. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, but actually it's seven, okay? So you're going to have seven academic disciplines. Now, of the seven disciplines, you actually have three groups inside of each of the seven, which is where we get 21 from. So the first one, I'm going to use this as an example, is going to be music theory. Okay, music. But music is going to be dance, and it's going to be song, and it's going to be composition. Okay, theory. So that's your three. So this was one of my primaries. So music was one of my primary studies. Now, what this means is you're studying music, but dance and composition was my forte. So I was putting all of my attention and focus into musical composition, but let's face it, I sing. So you can't do musical composition without singing. And of course I played the piano, which you're learning with musical composition anyway, and I'm gonna dance, you know? So, and here's the thing, for me, when I played the piano, I was dancing. To this day, when I type, this is actually why I type, this is why I write. I write because I'm dancing. My fingers dance. That is actually why I write. I am a finger dancer. And I have had that in my head since I was 4 years old. My fingers dance. So I was doing that. That was my primary study. And it bleeds over. It bleeds over. That is the subsequent disciplines. So the next one that I studied was art. Now, I did not learn how to draw professionally. I would say I was a tradesman. I was a tradesman. I could definitely tap into the habit, but I am no master when it comes to art. Now, history, art history is where my passion was. But you can't get into art history without getting into politics of history, without getting into theology of history, and of course, without getting into all of Western culture in history. So again, it bleeds over. Now, when you partner music and art, it's going to literally braid itself together. Now, the next one after that is theater and stage. Now, theater, stage, I'm sorry, you're going to get your Greeks and you're going to get your Shakespeare. Now, after that, nothing else really matters because that covers your British theater, classic British theater, that you can't do Shakespeare without it leading into modern British theater. And that's all I studied was BBC. Now, that also linked over into cinematic studies. So I studied the projector starting in the 1880s. I want to say it was before that. But the very first projector film ever filmed is called The Horse Rider. And it's a horseman sitting on a horse and the horse is galloping. It's the oldest piece of film in the world. Very first thing ever filmed. It lasts a whopping 1 minute. Then all being said, and when you study theater, stage, Greek history, the whole thing bleeds. Now that's just three topics. We're not into even the linguistical side, the story side, and we're not into the sciences yet. We're just into the arts. So that's what I mean by primary study. So when you choose your primary study, now your primary studies, this is the first part of the formula. This is your first three parts of the formula. So I studied the first formula one, which was music theory. I was a low level two, but then I was a really strong three. So my one and my three, that creates this was two pillars. Now what ended up happening, this is how we do it. This is how the ancient Greeks used the academic discipline formula to learn all 21 academic disciplines in 10 years. This is how we do it. You don't learn all 21 disciplines. No, what you do is you strategize. So you strategize the pillars. So my pillar was music and theater. Now, my next one after theater and stage, you're going to get into writing. Oh, yeah, that was my little bitch. Writing is my bitch. Now, writing bleeds over into linguistics, which, of course, gets into logic. Now, I'm going to be blunt. Writing, one of my pillars. Linguistics, one of my pillars. Logic, my pillar. Logic was my pillar upon my pillar upon my pillar. Like, literally, that is my primary. Logic is one of my primaries. So I didn't study art, but I didn't have to, Because when you study music and when you study theater and stage, something happens. It creates these fingers, like a webbing. And the webbing reaches and bleeds over into art. So this is where common sense is created. This is literally how you get it. Is the stuff I know about art is actually common sense. Now, the mathematical formula of all of the academic disciplines are broken down by three things. The first thing you have is vocabulary. If you do not learn the vocational language, you are not going to navigate the field. Language is how you navigate everything. The next thing you're going to find when you walk into an academic discipline is what I call nutritional nuggets. Nutritional nuggets are the most important thing you can possibly have. Those are the primary key points of, you really need to learn this. And if you don't learn the nutritional nuggets, you know jack and shit about the discipline. The next one is going to be the logical map, the order of those nuggets. Now, every discipline has that formula. There it is. You have your vocabulary, you have your nutritional nuggets, your bullet points. You could call the nutritional nuggets your bullet points. And you have your logical map. The end. You don't need anything else. Because if you are learning with the ancient Greek formula of the academia, and you are following the vocabulary, the nutritional nuggets, and the logic map, the common sense, the fibers, will stretch over, bleed over, and you will end up with logical deduction doing the learning for you. It's really amazing. Logical deduction will naturally take over, and it will weave. It will weave natural knowledge in place so you don't have to learn this. It's amazing. Now, what you want to do is you want to strategize this. So you definitely want to learn the core basics of all seven disciplines. That's mandatory. We do that naturally up until you're 12 years old. Ancient Greeks, we do that naturally right up until you're 12 years old. When you're 12, you go back and you do it again. Now, this is where you want to learn only and exclusively nothing but music theory for about 1 to 2 years. When I did it the first time around, it was literally 6 months. And that's what you want to do. You want to do 6 months with one subject, then 6 months with the next subject, then 6 months with the next subject. So you're only doing 6 months and you do nothing but you live, eat, breathe, drink this. Now, here's the catch. When you move on to the next discipline, you take it with you. So when you live, eat, breathe, drink music theory, then after 6 months, you add art to it. So that's where I got my tradesman training inside of that. I did art. That's when I first went through this. Then when I got to, I did theater stage. So by the time I was four, I was already doing theater stage. And then I adopted writing and then linguistics and etymology. That's a big one. That was a big one for me. And then naturally logic came in. Now, after logic, you have mathematics. After math, you have physics. Then you have chemistry, biology. That's all of them. That is literally all of them. Now, after this is where it got interesting. One of these disciplines was hidden. And this is the one thing that we don't, this was the treasure. When I started to look into this, I was just like, holy shit, what is this? And I'm going to use the word geometry. This was mine. Every one of us has one of these. Now, this is where it gets really interesting on a psychological level. I did only 1 month of geometry, and it was when I was studying logic. I was 15 years old. It was 1995, and I needed the geometry because Plato said so, and he had his plaque on his door that says, "Let no man who has not studied geometry enter these walls." So I was told by my Juilliard instructor that I had to study geometry. I studied algebra, music theory, and geometry, and philosophy all at the same time. And that is when it activated the God code inside of my brain. I literally remember the day it flipped the switch in my brain. It was extraordinary. And when it flipped the switch in my brain, it turned my brain on, and I saw shit. I went, whoa, I could see the world. It was amazing. It was like, that was the marker of, okay, this is when I became a genius. It was extraordinary. to have that flip switched. And I tried that formula out with a few other people, and it works every time. Music theory, algebra, philosophy, existentialism to be exact, logic, and geometry. Extraordinary. And when you combine those things, you see things, the world changes. That is what you want to trigger in your brain with every student. You do that and you don't ever, like, you're fine. You will have it for the rest of your life. Your brain will work. So that was the only time I studied geometry. Never understood it. Never really got into it. I avoided it. There was something about it that was just off. This got really interesting. So I went off, I did my math, I did everything else, and I went through the loop. You go through it once up until you're 12. And then I went through it again from 12 up to about 25. And then I went through the loop again. Now, when you do it the third time, you don't go through all of them. That's when you decide which of the pillars do you want. Now, you're not going to study everything because it's going to fill in. So this is where you strategize. You have your arts, you have your sciences, and you have your story. I chose to focus on story. So story, that's writing, linguistics, and logic, and math. Those were the four that I focused all of my attention on. That was my core. So art, I had the foundation. I didn't study art as much. I got that down to a tradesman skill. But the others, I was a master in musical composition, and in theater stage, I was a master in that field as well. So my two masteries in that field, built in the fibers for the tradesman skill for art. So I didn't need art. I was able to get the gist of it without having to master it. I did not, same thing with chemistry. I did not study chemistry, but my study in biology and my study in physics filled in the gap of chemistry. So chemistry and art are my two weakest points of all of my studies. But my forte really is reading, writing, linguistics, etymology, and logic. Now, this is where it really got really interesting. I had the primary forte studies. I had the subsequent disciplines. Subsequent disciplines are going to be those are the two lesser ones. I had the chemistry and the art. But this is where it was actually last December. It was very recent. It was December of 2024. And it was Christmas Day. And my son had pulled up Blender, which is a computer designing program for 3D models and computer graphics. And I needed something that I could take. I was frustrated because I saw these things in my head and I was trying to explain to my son what I saw, and I needed to design it and replicate it. He said, "It sounds like you need Blender." I said, "Okay." So he gets on the computer, he downloads the program, he opens it up, and I burst into tears. I just started sobbing on the spot. And I said, "What is this?" He goes, "It's Blender." I said, "No, it's Home." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's Home." It was extraordinary. It was like I was looking at my home inside of my subconscious mind, where I lived for 32 years, on the computer screen. It's the only time I have seen what's in my head in the meta world. And it blew me away. I said, "What is that?" He goes, "It's geometry." I said, "That's not geometry." And I pulled out geometry and I showed my son the diagrams from Pythagorean theorem and Euclid. And I'm like, "That's geometry." I said, "That." And I pointed at Blender. "That's Home. What is that?" He goes, "It's geometry." And he started to show me the zero point of balance. He showed me Descartes. He showed me Euclid. And all the formulas were there. And it was mind-blowing to me. The grid, it looks like a holodeck. It looked like something out of Tron. It's Home. It's Home. And this is where, when I stepped back from this, like, it was very emotional for me, because there's two aspects to this. First, it was very emotional for me because I was literally visibly looking at my mental home where I lived for 32 years inside of the meta. But the other thing that blew me away, this one really hit hard, is, well, now I know why geometry is weird for me. So this, when I started to analyze this, And I started to ask around. This is what I realized. When you go into your brain, when you withdraw into the self, you're going to have one of these disciplines that you call home. That's the other discipline. So you're going to have your primary disciplines, your fortes. You're going to have your subsequent disciplines. But there is one discipline that you call home. Now, here's the catch. This is the real kick in your teeth. Whatever they show you that it is on the outside in the meta, you're not going to recognize it. You won't. Because what people think it actually is in the meta, it's not true. What it is in the abstract is what it really is. And when you look at it in the meta, you're not going to get it. So it's actually going to be the one discipline that you struggle with the most because it's your home and they have messed it up that much in the meta. And you aren't able to make out the understanding of the translation because you're inside of it. I lived inside of geometry for 32 years of my life. So much so that when I look at it in real life, in the meta world, I don't understand it because it's not the same. I'm like, what have you done to it? I do not understand the meta world translation of geometry. I only understand the abstract world of geometry because that's my home. So this is where it got really interesting. I said that logic was my passion, my core. Logic is geometry. It is a branch of geometry. I lived inside of geometry for 32 years. That was my safe place. That's where I ran to. That was trauma is happening, escape inside the mind. I ran into geometry. That's where I ran to escape my traumas. So my question is, where are you guys all running? That's my question. That is the burning question I have been asking since December 25th of 2024. Where's everyone else going? Is anyone else going to geometry? Where are you guys going? I have no idea. No one knows anything about this. So there's going to be one discipline that's actually going to be one of your hardest disciplines, which is actually going to be because you see it for what it really is. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to get all of us together. I got geometry. I got dibs on geometry. But I need 20 more people. I need 20 more people to all come in and say, this is my home. I want to know what you guys see. Because I can tell you what geometry is as home. And it is not at all what everyone else. It's extraordinary because the emotional everything that is with me and geometry, I would never, these are words I would never call. I would never call that place geometry. I call that my make-believe land. That's imagination land. That's what I call it. And that's the funny thing. That's what I've been doing this whole time is I'm sitting here like throwing magic around and I'm creating things. Oh, dudes, I am totally inside of geometry building crap in Blender in my brain. That's really what I'm doing. I had no idea because when I'm looking on paper, and this is it right here. This is what messed me up. It's plain geometry. It's two-dimensional. That is why I couldn't understand it. I was looking at paper. I kept looking at paper and words, and they're going Euclid geometry, and I'm going, I don't understand, because you can't learn geometry on two-dimensional paper. You have to learn geometry inside of geometry, where it is literally third dimension, third spatial dimensions. You need this. This is amazing. So, I just can't stop wondering, what does everyone else see? And here's that kicker. You are not going to know which discipline is yours until you figure it out because it's not going to look anything like they say it is on the outside. So you have to describe what your home academic discipline is. Describe it. And then you have to figure out the exoteric perspective. That's ancient Greek for outsider. So you are an insider to your home discipline. I am an insider to geometry. So when you're looking at geometry in a textbook, you are looking at the exoteric perspective of geometry. They don't know damn anything about it. They don't know anything about geometry. First of all, it's on paper. I mean, come on, who does that? So That's really it right there, is you're looking at the exoteric perspective, but you are esoteric. You are insider to that academic discipline. So immediately you're going to struggle because it's not going to, and here's the thing. This is the real punch to my face. I'm going, okay, I know you're incompetent when it comes to teaching me geometry because you're sitting there teaching me like, well, you're an exoteric and I'm inside geometry. I am the inside. I live. This is my house. So what bullshit are you telling me about the other disciplines? Now, that's what I want to ask. How can I trust you with the other disciplines if I know you're telling me crap about geometry? That right there. So when you do dialectical compression learning, you are becoming an insider to all the disciplines. That's really what you're doing. You are totally magic school busing this. We are the magic school bus. And you're going inside of these disciplines. And when you go inside of the disciplines and you traverse through each one in order, because that's the way the ancient Greeks know how to do it. That's the way your biology does it. You're going to go through this. And when you go through it, you get to experience as an insider. And this is where you're going, oh, so this is philosophy. This is physics. Oh, this is music theory. I had one group and they were trying to tell me, this is the most painful thing. They were trying to tell me all this crap about quantum physics, except, well, I'm a physicist. So I'm listening to them and I'm cringing up my face. And I'm like, did you guys just read the back of the blurb? You read the book blurb of physics, didn't you? Like it was garbage what they were claiming. And they're like, well, no, this is science. No, that is not science. That is you copying a bunch of stuff you don't understand in the wrong order, so it's out of context. And you have no idea how physics works because that's not physics. What you're describing, you dumbasses, what you are describing is music theory. And then they give me a look like, what? Have you studied music theory? Yeah, you're describing music theory. And you're so uneducated in physics and music theory that you've assumed you're talking about quantum physics when in fact you are talking about, well, you're talking about the treble clef and you're talking about the measure lines and you're talking about, yeah, you're just talking to me about music theory. And that right there is that's it. That right there is the summation of all of this. Is you can't bullshit knowledge, especially when you're talking to somebody who's educated. You cannot bullshit knowledge. You just come off like a real fucking dumbass. So when you're sitting there looking at, I mean, when so uneducated, couldn't even tell the difference between physics and music theory. It was that bad. So when you are looking at the ancient Greek educational system and all the academic disciplines and how they fit together, it's a sequence. It is a song. You are learning nature's song and how nature sings and dances. And in order to do that, you have to learn the song in the right melodic sequence. And that's all that this is. It's a melodic sequence. And there's also a harmonic sequence, but let's just start with the melody line. When you study the academic disciplines, you're only on the melody line. You haven't even started getting into the harmony of the academic disciplines. You have to start with just the melody line. So when you start teaching and learning the academic disciplines, like you are learning a melodic composition scale, because that's what you're doing, you're learning a melodic scale, you start to realize really what it is. It's exactly like this. There are 21 letters of Mother Nature's alphabet, 21 letters. And if you are just a physicist, well, congratulations, you have learned the letter A and you're trying to read a book. Oh, that is exactly what this is. There are 21 letters in nature's alphabet. If you have only studied writing, good for you. You have learned the letter C. Don't tell me you know how to read if you've only got one letter. Some people will go, I'm an interdisciplinary study. Great. What have you learned? X and Q. Okay. You got 21 letters, you know, and you got two. And that is really Trojan learning in comparison to ancient Greek learning. We believe in learning all the letters of the alphabet and then putting them together so we can form words so we can communicate. And now you have even a fraction of Plato's code. That's it right there, is being able to put the entire alphabet together so you can learn it. So when you start looking at the academic disciplines as good for you, you've got the letters of the alphabet, you've only chosen one or two. Now, in addition to that, there are literally five different alphabets. And of the five different alphabets, there are 21 letters in each. So now do that math. And now you're looking at 105 letters of an entire alphabet. But you might only study one letter, A, and you might study one letter, A, in three of the languages. So when you're looking at academic disciplines in that way, suddenly you're not at all, not even a little bit, not even a little bit. Are you able to begin to understand what the disciplines really do, what they are, and how they all fit together? That's what philosophy teaches you, is how to read all 21 academic disciplines so you can actually unlock the world beyond them. Philosophy is just learning how to enter the world of philosophy. You can't even get beyond it. You're just learning how to enter the disciplines. That's what existentialism is about. It's about, okay, we're going to teach you the five different languages of the 21 academic disciplines. That is 105 letters. Now, when we teach you these 105 letters, we're going to have to go on a journey to get you into each one of these disciplines in turn in the right order to unlock the sequence. Now, when you unlock the sequence, it's going to release a physics formula that's going to trigger a series of amazing events. And when it does that, it will absolutely turn your brain on and you will become something amazing. It's going to freak you out. So we want to make sure you have existentialism mastered before we get you into the academic disciplines. By the way, you're going to need this here, Ashavana Scientific Method. So what you're really doing is you're learning the 12 ethical perspective stages, which is the mathematical coordinates that lead you into the academic disciplines. Plato referred to that as Plato's number. Actually, he called it the bride's number. But everyone else called it Plato's number. And that is the academic coordinates of how to transgress or how to walk into, transcend, that's what I'm trying to say, how to transcend into the academic disciplines and move properly through all of them via the 12 ethics. When you do that with Ashavana Scientific Method and the 21 academic disciplines, you get to the end and you unlock it. But that only opens the door. It only begins you. That's just the start. Where the Trojans are, they still think that philosophy is an academic discipline. It's not. It's the curriculum. So this is how we do it. This right here is how we cram, quote unquote. It's not cramming at all. This is how we put 21 academic disciplines into our brain in 10 years. Is because we're using a mathematical formula based off of strategy with the primary forte and the subsequent disciplines so that we know how to weave strategically when we build them in the right order. By the time you are 15, you will have all three, the first three of the five languages learned. And the rest just fills it right in. And it's so automatic. It is a fraction of the energy. That's when it builds up excitement. That's when it's an adventure. The whole journey is an exciting adventure. And here's the most amazing part of this whole thing. Naturally, this thing begins inside of every human being when they are 1.5 years old. If your child takes out pots and pans and beats them with a spoon, they have activated the philosophical ancient Greek journey through the 21 disciplines. Now, the trick for the parents, leave your child alone so they can continue. But almost every parent and every teacher interferes with that development. They interrupt it. Now that opens the door for mental illness. Now that's where you have obstruction of organic learning. And that's when they take them off of this. The ancient Greeks learned how to preserve it, so that your child would have it taken care of, so that the parent knows they're already going to do this. It's natural. Your job as a parent is to observe it in your child. Document it. Watch what they go for and what they gravitate for. The ethics will teach them naturally. It's already inside of them. You just have to respect their nourishment, their freedom, and truth. You make sure they get truth. Everything else will fall into lying and placement. Now, this is where people get really afraid of ethics. Oh, but what if my child is evil? That's a whole nother topic. And most children are not born evil. No one is born evil. They're made into evil. That's a whole nother topic. And the indulgence. And here's the other thing you're also looking at. When you have a child who everyone has to learn the indulgence of bad, but you really want a 2-year-old to indulge in evil and not a 45-year-old. Because when a 45-year-old indulges in evil, it's a whole nother level of evil. 2-year-old evil is really like, you stole the cookies, versus an adult 45-year-old. We're not going to talk about what they do for evil. So you really want to make sure that they learn the problems with evil at a very early age. So they get that metric and they're like, oh, that's bad. I don't want that. You want them to have the bad experience associated with bad behavior, but you don't want to create it for them.